Amen. God bless you. As I mentioned a little while ago, I just want to share this morning on walking in the light. And that's the theme of my message this morning. Now, it doesn't take an intellectual to know that we are living in days of great darkness. It just seems to abound more and more as you look around, as you watch the TV, you read the newspapers, and you'll see that these days are evil. Man's deeds seem to be evil continually. And I don't know if it may not surprise you to know that the prophet Isaiah, it's about 2,700 years ago, so he was well ahead of his time. So 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, and he says that, this is in Isaiah 60 verse 2, you don't have to turn it up, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Amen. You know, so almost 3,000 years ago, the prophet Isaiah prophesied those words that darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness will be upon the people. Now, as I said, we can look around, we can see in the newspapers, we can see on the TV, we can see just in our surroundings where we are, that these are days of deep darkness. Man's deeds are continually evil. They're wicked. What is abominable to God, and what he says in his word as an abomination, it's becoming acceptable, and it's becoming normal place in society. What is evil and demonic and satanic is often celebrated. And you'll see this even this coming week as the world celebrates this festival they call Halloween. But the Bible tells us, and I want you to turn to this scripture, if you can give me 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, please. 1 John 1, verse 5. You know, I was just waiting on the Lord a few weeks ago, and this scripture came to me, and it's kept coming back over the last few days. So I just felt that this is what the Lord wanted me to share on this morning. So 1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Then look at the next verse, verse 6, and mark these words, because these are hard words for us sometimes. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him," with God, if we say we belong to him, if we say we're in communion with him, we're in fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Hard words from the apostle. God is light. We can say amen to that. And in him there's no darkness at all. But can we say amen to the next verse? That if we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. You know, it hits home sometimes, because we know sometimes there are times when perhaps we might find ourselves walking in the ways of darkness. Now, we touched on that a little while ago when we read from Ephesians. You know, that God has brought us out of darkness, he's brought us into light. But some of us sometimes, we have a tendency to go back to the dark. We have a tendency to want to be like the children of Israel. We want to go back into Egypt. We want to go back to the ways, because it's acceptable to the world. It's normal to the world. and they will try to get us to conform and to follow their ways. If we say we love God and we have fellowship Him, but we walk in those dark ways of the world, the Bible tells us that we are lying to ourselves and lying to one another and lying to God, and we don't practice the truth. Now, I just touched this. You know, what this world wants to do for us, it wants to squeeze us, it wants to shape us, it wants us to conform, to become, and there's a word that's used quite often nowadays, you'll know the word, we've got to be tolerant. We've got to be tolerant to other people, to other faiths, to other ways of life, to all these things that are going on. And the world wants to try and squeeze us into that shape, wants us to mold ourselves into that shape, to conform, to become accepting of things, to adopt customs and cultures which God says are not good for the child of God. There are even some Christians and even some church leaders and pastors, they will tell you, and they will quote those scriptures, and they will tell us that we must, and this was what Paul said in one of his letters, is we've got to become all things to all men in order to win them. Now, while I agree 100% with what Paul says, and that's what the scripture says, we must become all things to all men in order that we might win them, but that does not mean that we adopt their practices and go their ways. To a child, we must become like a child in order to reach him. So that means we don't use words that are intellectual words to a child, because the child won't understand them. We've got to get down on their level and speak to them and become like them. That's how we win them. It doesn't mean that we conform and we practice the works of darkness. Now, the Bible tells us quite categorically, and we're going to look at some of these, that we are to walk in the light, because God is in the light. That's what we read. If we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, because I want you to see something this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to go to verse 1. Now, this is it's quite a lengthy chapter. And I want just to just focus this morning on the first few, the first half of the chapter. And it says here in verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Now, what it's actually telling us, I'm sure you understand this, that the Bible, when it was written, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus, he did not write it with breaks that come in chapter breaks. This was a letter that he was writing. He was encouraging the church. And you never start a new section with the word therefore, because that automatically ties it to what's been previously said. And if you look at the end of chapter 4, you'll see that he's talking there that we mustn't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And he's saying that all things like bitterness, wrath, anger, malice, all these works of darkness are put away with. And that we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. But then he goes on and he says, therefore, because of this, he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators of God. This word means, to imitate means to mimic or to copy. To mimic or to copy. Are you an imitator of God this morning? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? Are you copying the Father? That's what children do. That's why He says, as dear children. Because children copy their parents. That's how they learn to talk, because the mother speaks to the child. You know, just a few weeks ago when we were in the UK, I was talking with our granddaughter, and little Bethany, and I just kept saying, "Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa." And by the time we finished, she couldn't get the whole word, but she was saying, "Pa, Pa." She's copying, she's mimicking what she hears. She's mimicking what I am. Now, I'm not her parent, I'm a grandparent, but children copy their parents. They mimic their parents. That's how they learn to talk. That's why when you see a child doing something, and, you know, we always used to be not afraid, not really, wasn't afraid, but we didn't want the girls saying anything in public when we were there, in case they said something which we know we shouldn't have said, you know, or we shouldn't have done. Because children copy their parents. So if you train your child in the way he should go when he is old, he will not depart from it, the scripture says. When we train our children, when they copy us, when we live, if we're living in darkness, then they're going to copy those words, those actions. They're going to copy the way we talk, the things we say. And we're told here to be like that with God. We are to imitate, mimic, and copy the Father. Who knows, if you're copying what God says and what God does, you're not going to go wrong. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fail. Why? Because God cannot fail. If we're copying it, that's what Jesus did. It says in the scriptures, in John's Gospel, he only did and said what he heard from the Father. He mimicked the Father. He copied the Father. We should do the same. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. He says, and walk in love, verse 2 says. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, we are to walk and live as Christ loved us. Walk and live in love. Jesus' love, what was it says of the love of Jesus in John 15, I think it is. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus certainly laid down his life. Not just for his friends, but for those who were his enemies, those who were against him. The Lord laid down his life for those who even drove their nails into his hands. But we are to walk and live in love, just as Christ loved us. Now the love of God for us is unconditional. Do we live and love like that? Or do we say, not sure about him? I read a post, one of my friends put a post on Facebook, was it yesterday or the day before, I can't remember exactly when, and it says about us living in love, and loving others means loving the people we don't get along with, the people, our neighbours. It's the Muslim, it's the ones that seem to be against us. And it gave a long list of people, and the ones that hurt us, the ones that use us, the ones that do things to us that we don't like. That's loving them is love. Because we love them because we're loving with the love of Christ. It doesn't mean necessarily we have to like them or like what they're doing, but we must love them. We're to walk and live in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Verses 3 to 5, let me read them, because these list some of the works of darkness. Because I said we're walking in light, not walking in darkness. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a fornicator, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief, I'm not a murderer. What about foolish talking? What about idle words? Another scripture uses that term, about idle words. Coarse jesting. Bad jokes. Do we covet what our neighbor has? Are we looking at what our brothers and sisters have, wanting, desiring, coveting what they have? We're not to live that way. It's not, what's it actually say here in the scripture, verse 5, it says, which are not fitting for the saints. It's not fitting for the people of God. This is not the way we should live. Look at verse 6. Look what it says here. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You know, don't be deceived through the empty words, the words that men will use. You know, come on, it's all right, we can do this. You know, it's acceptable today. You know, I was watching a program, Jane and I were watching a program on the television, I'm not sure, Tuesday night I think it was. And it's a program we like to watch, it's a British program, I don't know whether, I don't suppose it comes on the, not the Go or Melita channels. But it's a program, certainly if you're from the UK here you'll know it, and you'll know the guy I'm talking about. The man's name's Martin Lewis. And he does a money-saving show, telling how you can save money, and what he's telling you is right, and it's good, and it's wise advice in order to do well financially. It's sound advice. But he said something on Tuesday night, which he took a scripture from. He took a quotation from the scripture, and he. It was this phrase which says, neither a borrower nor a lender be. That sort of theme, that idea that comes out of the scripture where God tells us not to be a borrower or a lender. And he said that philosophy, that's the way he talks, he said, that philosophy is no good today. He said, because in order to get by, you've got to be able to borrow, you've got to take mortgages, and that's the way he was going. And immediately, as soon as he said it, I thought, oh, no, knowing what I was going to share today. They are empty words. Oh, it doesn't matter what the scripture says. It doesn't matter what God said, because they might say, that's outdated, that's not relevant for today. You know, we're living in a day where you've got to live like this. You've got to do a little bit of cheating. You've got to do a little bit of lying. Have we? Is that the way we live? We mustn't be deceived through these empty words, where the world will try to get us to conform or participate in what they're doing. Isn't that what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden? God didn't really mean that. That's not what he meant. He didn't mean you were actually going to die. And he twisted what God had said in order to get man and woman to partake of what God had told them not to do. These empty words, verse 7, it goes on, actually tells us that. It says, therefore, it says, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them. You know, don't partake, don't get involved with their ways. They're dark ways, they're worldly ways, they're the works of the flesh. We studied them the other Wednesday night as we were looking through in the studies. You know, the three enemies that we have. Why? Because as we saw earlier on, as we were coming to the communion table, verse 8 says, here it says, for you were once darkness, you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Then walk as children of the light. We've come out of darkness, we've come out of that kingdom into another kingdom. We've come out of death into life, out of darkness into light, out of sin and bondage into freedom in Christ Jesus. So he's telling us to walk as children of the light. How are we going to walk as children of the light? He tells us, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit, verse 9, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Walking in the light is walking in goodness, walking in righteousness, walking in truth. Finding out, verse 10, what is acceptable to the Lord. Now the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians tells us, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. I've missed one out. Long-suffering. Gentleness and self-control. And then it tells us that we should find out what is acceptable to... How do we find out what is acceptable? Reading and studying of the Word of God. Because this Word tells us how to live. This is, as Pastor often says, this is our manual for life. Our manual for life. We can read it. If you want to know how to mend a car. Now, today it's a little bit different because you have to plug it into the computer. You take it to the garage and they plug it in and they tell you what's wrong with it. But in days gone by when I had... it was handed down to me from my father, a little orange Austin, and yeah, it was orange, and I had to go. It kept breaking down. This car was. You know, it seemed that I always had the bonnet up on this car. Now, I know nothing about cars. My father knows nothing about cars. My grandfather, yes, he does. And you'll be surprised what my grandfather could do to get a car working. I remember one occasion we took this, not the little orange car, this was another car we had. We had a little Volkswagen Beetle. And we took it down. We were living 100 miles from where my grandfather lived. And we had a problem with the car on the way down. And Jen and I needed to get back to our hometown. And my grandfather, he said, leave it to me. And he went into his shed. Now, everything, every known possible gadget or little piece of thing was kept in the shed. And he came out a little while later with a piece of pipe about this long. Actually, it was a connector or an adapter for a Hoover, a vacuum cleaner, to give it a little bit of an extension so you could get up and do onto the ceilings. It was about this long. And he went, and he found this, he says, this will do, and he started cutting it down. And actually, what did he do? If you know the Beetle, the back of the Beetle has two exhausts that come out to the back. And he used these two pieces of Hoover pipe to fix a problem I was having with the exhaust. It enabled us to get home, and actually I ran on that for a couple of weeks before actually getting it fixed properly. But my grandfather was great at cars. I'm useless when it comes to mechanics and things like that. So in order for me to repair this old Austin, I had to go and buy a book, a manual, one of the... those of you that know about cars, it was one of the Haynes manuals that tells you how to repair. It had pictures in it, it had step-by-step instructions. You followed it. If you followed it, you could fix the car. A little bit like working a recipe if you're trying to make a cake. You follow the recipe, the end result, if you followed it right, or if the recipe is right, that's another story. If the recipe is right and you follow it, the end result will be what you expect it to be. It's the same with the Word of God. If we follow it, it will work. It's our manual for life. It will show us how to live. It will fix the problems that we're having in our lives, in our situations. Go to the Word. What does God say? You know, that used to be a problem in the church that we were pastoring, because you'd go to them and you'd know the same people would come time and time again with the same problem, the same need. And then you want to ask them, what does God say? And they say, I don't know. Well, that's your problem. You don't know what God says. Find what God says and that will solve the problem. Follow the Word of God, it fixes the problem. Now, it will show you how to live. Now, it might tell you that you've got to do something. It might highlight that you're not walking in love, or you don't have joy. It might show you something that you've got to go to a brother and repent and ask for forgiveness. It'll show you how to live in order to solve and fix the problems that we go through. It's our manual for life. So that's how we find out what is acceptable to God. I'm following those of you that live in this locality. If you follow this group on Facebook, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a group on Facebook which goes under the name Proud to Live in St. Paul's Bay. Does anybody follow that group? Proud to Live in St. Paul's Bay. And I'm amazed when you read some of the posts in there. First of all, you take the first line. I normally read the first line and I think, oh no, this is the way I'm thinking. I read the first line and somebody's going to think, oh, that's a stupid question. Why? Because the first words in the post is it legal? Or is it illegal? And you think, you know what they're going to ask. Is it illegal for them to do building work on Sunday? Or is it illegal to have all these holes left in the road? Or is it illegal for them to put the bags out on the wrong day? And you know, these people, they know what the answer to the question before they ask it. They know that the bag has got to go out at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's the rules. Follow the rules, you don't have any problems. Now, if the council don't pick the bags up, then that's not our problem. If we're following the rules, we're living right. If you decide to take your... This is all going to change this week, as you know. If you decide to take your black bag out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're breaking the rules. Because that's not when you're told to put it out. And if you're going to go against the Word of God, then you can't expect God's blessing to work in your life. If you follow what God says, then it will work. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, it might not be acceptable for them to do building work on a Sunday afternoon in a residential block. But it is acceptable for them to do it on a Monday or a Tuesday. You've just got to find out what's acceptable. And when it comes to the Word of God, we find out by reading and studying. That's why we're told to come together, to gather often. Why Hebrews tells us not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Why? Because we need to know what God says. Now, yes, we can read it at home, and we should read it at home, but we also need to come together and share with one another. Because God will show you something that you haven't shown me, and we need to share with one another. God will show me something that he won't show you. We need to share with one another. God will show somebody else something which will actually make us both think, oh, maybe there is another way of looking at it. And we talk to one another and we find out what's acceptable to God, what God's will is. So, finding out, it says in verse 11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. says, have no fellowship. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Does that mean that you're not going to mix with your friends, your family, because they are in darkness? No, it does not. It means that you're not going to be a partaker and a participator in what they are doing. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of the. Do not be a partaker or a participator in what they are doing. If you don't have any fellowship with the people, how are you going to win them for the Lord? How are you going to be able to tell them what's right and what's wrong? It's not that we don't mix with them, not that we don't go along with them, but we don't participate in what they are doing. We say, you can do that, if that's up to you, but I am having no part of that action. Because actually, as we live in the life, what should we do? We bring to manifest the works of God. We expose the works of God. People say, they see the light shining through us, and it highlights their ways, their errors. But verse 15 and 16 says this, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're to walk uprightly. That's what that word there means. To walk uprightly, to be in right standing. We're to walk in wisdom, not foolishness. Redeeming the time. Making the most of our time for the Lord. Now, this is, I don't want you to dwell on what I'm going to say, but just imagine for a moment that you were doing something that was not right, and the Lord would come. Let's get the picture of somebody coming to your house to visit. You're in the middle of doing something that's not right, or you're living, and the Lord knocks on the door of your house. You know, just imagine, what would you do in that situation? You know, we're to walk uprightly, circumspectly, in wisdom, redeeming the time, making the most of our time for the Lord. There is a verse, I'm not going to take time to read it to you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul asks the question here in 2 Corinthians. He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? You know, what communion is there in these things? What accord, he says, does Christ have with Belial? Now, Belial in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15, I think it is a name attributed to Satan in the New Testament. The word actually means wicked or worthless. And it's used elsewhere in the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, it's only used this once, and it's attributing a name to the enemy, to Satan. He says, what part does Christ have with Satan? What part does light have with darkness? It doesn't, it can't mix. It's like water and oil. They don't go together. And in that scripture in Corinthians, he tells us to come out from among them. Come out from the ways of darkness. Come out from the ways of the world and be separate. Be holy to him. And not to touch what's unclean. He says, and I will receive you. So what does that mean for us? We're living in the light. Now, you'll find this week, you'll find that a lot of week going on. It's the week when the world is going to celebrate Halloween. We're often asked the question, what about Halloween? Is it just harmless fun? Is it something that we should just, and a lot of churches are getting involved in it. But I want to give you three things about Halloween, just to finish with this morning, something for you to think about. First of all, you've got to understand the roots of the festival. I'm not going to go into everything here. But you've got to understand the roots. The roots come from occultic practice. Comes from demonic, satanic practices. It was an Irish, Scottish festival which was hijacked. Well, actually, it's always been occultic. And the practice going back in history was a day where you honoured and worshipped the dead. And that was the festival. So you've got to know about the roots and where it comes from. Halloween promotes that which God says is an abomination. You can write these scriptures down and read them when you get home. I'm not going to go through them now. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 to 15, lists a lot of things which are considered normal at the time of Halloween. And God says it's an abomination. And it all goes back into the roots again. Do some research on where Halloween came from. Because in Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 to 15, it talks about people practicing witchcraft, soothsaying, divination, and all these things which are an abomination to God. Talking about passing their children through the fire. That was a practice as part of the ancient festival, that they would offer sacrifice, animal sacrifices, crop sacrifices, even human sacrifices, making them pass through the fire. And in that scripture, God says these things are an abomination. One who conjures spells or conjures a medium or a spiritist or calls up the dead. So read that. Halloween also promotes fear, terror, and death. We're commanded not to fear. We should not propagate fear in our lives or in the lives of others. Psalm 91 tells us that we should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Paul writes to Timothy and he tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind. That's not terror. That's not fear. That's life. And we need to know that Jesus says, this is John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Says, those who believed in him would not live and walk in darkness. In actual fact, the scripture says this. It's J.B. Phillips' translation. He says, the man who follows me will never walk in the dark, but will live his life in the light. So, now I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't. I'm not going to tell you that you should participate in Halloween, or I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't participate. I'm going to leave that between you and God. That's what the scripture says. That we shouldn't propagate fear, terror. We certainly shouldn't get involved in the works of darkness. We should live in light. Now, I know there's some churches that do outreaches and they win people to the Lord on that particular day. Now, they're not actually involved, they're not doing all the things that go on, like the trick-or-treating and all that business. But they're out there winning people for the Lord Jesus as an outreach. But certainly, as the actual festival, I would say we shouldn't get involved, we shouldn't participate. Now, we can't escape it because it's all around us, but we don't have to participate and partake. We're living in the light. We should expose. Living in the light will expose the unfruitful works of darkness. So, my time has run out on me, I see. So I'm going to wrap up, sit down, shut up, and let you go home.